At Cool Air Products, we developed AC Smart Seal Quick Shot with professionals in mind. It's the only product on the market that's 3-in-1, with sealant, lubricant, and UV dye all in a single application. It's non-toxic, non-flammable, 100% safe to the touch, eco-friendly, and compatible with all refrigerants. It's a safe solution option, backed by years of R&D, Intertech tested, and has sealed millions of leaks. AC Smart Seal, the professional's choice.
Welcome back, guys. So I'm sitting here trying to clean my van, and then it starts pouring rain. So I'm taking a break. I got the back door open here. I hope you can hear that because it's quite relaxing, but I'm getting wet trying to clean the van. Anyway, guys, we have Matthew Cowley from Spectraline on, and the reason he came on is because he wanted to sort of educate us about dye, right? From a manufacturer's standpoint, I've used dye a handful of times in my career, and I was honest and upfront with Matthew about when and where and how many times I've used it. And I was also honest and upfront about where it's helped. He goes on to talk about how it's approved by Copeland. It's filtered out even stronger than refrigeration oil, stuff like that. So if you guys want to learn about dye, where it can potentially help you, and why Spectraline is not actually harming any systems because it's Copeland approved, check this out. This is the HVAC Know It All podcast. I'm your host, Gary McCready. This podcast is sponsored by Master, and in the mail, I just got one of those yellow jacket pliers. It's like a recovery tool. Basically, it's like vice grips, and it's got a piercing tip on it and a Schrader core on the other side. This is for like systems that don't have service ports in them already. So you can tap in, maybe check some pressures or something like that, and then pull the refrigerant out to do any sort of repair. So you can get these at Master, guys, and they're on those yellow jacket walls. If not there, just request. This podcast is sponsored by Cintas. And as it rains here, one of the things I think about is when you're on the roof and you just wear a rain jacket, like an actual solid rain jacket where the water just repels off of it, you also need to wear rain pants, because what you find is the water just propels down the jacket and your pants get soaked. Those things, because they are water resistant, though, they're really warm when you wear them, because your moisture does not escape either, right? So you stay kind of moist and humid in them, but they keep you dry. Anyway, my rant over. Check out Cintas.com/HVAC Know It All for your uniform needs.
Welcome to the HVAC Know-It-All Podcast. Recorded from a basement somewhere in Toronto, Canada, your host and HVAC tech, Gary McCready, will take you on a deep dive into the industry, discussing all things HVAC. From storytelling to technical discussion. Enjoy the show.
All right, Matt. So the topic of dye, very polarizing. Anytime there's any mention of dye on social media, the comments are all over the place. You get guys that love it, guys that hate it. You're called all kinds of names sometimes if you use it. But I have used it. I've used it in, and I'm going to be 100% honest, I've used it in sort of the last case scenario where I need to find something that I've just not been able to find. Like, for instance, you can go with a leak detector, even a really, really good one. But if you have a big, thick evaporator that has 5, 6, 7 passes in it, I mean, it might be really hard to detect a leak with a detector and then find the bubbles because it's buried inside. And I'm going to tell you the story the first time I ever used dye, because it blew my mind, right? I was an apprentice, and it was a server room, like a data center room, right? And there was two Lieberts inside of it. And one of them had this problem where it was like losing refrigerant every few months. It was low. It wasn't like losing it quickly. It was losing it very, very slowly, right? And my boss at the time is like, everybody's been down there. They've soaped it. They can't find nothing, right? And Lieberts, like the larger ones, the evaporators are like big A coils inside when you open up the side door, and they're thick, right? Mm-hmm. And what he did is he's like, okay, he told me to throw some dye in it. I don't remember the brand, what it was back then, because this is years and years and years ago, probably 2 decades ago now. And we went back with a black light a week later or so, and I shined it up at this A coil from the underside of the A coil, and the thing lit up like a Christmas tree. There was leaks everywhere, and it blew my mind, right?
And it was a really good sort of show and tell for the customer, right? Because if you go up to a customer and you, your evaporator's leaking, so on and so forth. Yeah, that's cool. But if you can take them in the room and say, look, shine that black light up in there. I want to show you something. And when they see that, they're like, okay, now I understand. I get it. There's a visual there. There's a visual component to that.
Visual inspection.
So that's kind of my first sort of go around with dye. And I saw the value of it from a, wow, look how many leaks are in this evaporator. I didn't know evaporator could have this many leaks in it. So I saw the value there, right? Because it revealed every single leak that was in this thing. And there had to be 20 to 30 leaks in it easily, right? And they were, and you could see where they started and how they dripped, how the oil and dye kind of made its way dripping down. Because every leak point had this little area, and then it was like a drip, like a long sort of tail coming down each leak site. So from a customer standpoint too, it was a good visual. So that was kind of my first go around with dye. So what we're going to talk about here is dye, from your perspective. We're going to throw some education in, and obviously you're going to talk about it from the fact that you're with a company that produces dye in a certain way. We had a conversation yesterday, and you revealed some things to me that I didn't know myself. So let's go through it. We'll have a slow build to it. So I'll give you the floor here, and you just tell me what you think about dye in general and benefits, any negatives, anything that you can throw out at us to start this conversation off.
Yep. So the easiest way to start the conversation is just overall about the technology and the use in closed loop systems. So fluorescent leak detection, you know, was started on the automotive market. So the AC systems and obviously the vibrations in your car, you know, the automotive industry has accepted this type of technology for years. The other thing is that we are the founders and the inventors of this type of technology. So there, again, you know, back to discussing fluorescent leak detection overall, you know, when you mentioned finding multiple leaks, the idea is that this product works in your system while you're not checking leaks. Fluorescent leak detection works 24/7. So obviously the more passes in the system that it has, the longer the product is actually introduced or in the system circulating with the fluid, more of those multiple leaks you're able to detect, which gives you the visible inspection to actually make a quicker educated decision on what is actually going on with this type of equipment.
Okay. All right. Now, I've always, like I said off the top, dye's always sort of been my last resort. We can be fully yep. transparent here and talk about how electronic leak detectors have come a very far way, and they're very accurate. Maybe 20 years ago, they're kind of, everything would set them off. Now they're a little bit more accurate. There's a little bit more education on best practice, best use, and I can find pretty much over 90% of the leaks that I come across with an electronic leak detector. So I think in order to give dye a sort of a fair run at this, we need to bring up some applications where dye might be beneficial over a leak detector. So do you maybe want to talk to that a bit? Because I can give a couple of examples myself.
No, of course. You know, every residential service contractor has three different methods for leak checking. You know, they're always going to have their bottle of Big Blue on the car, on their truck. I mean, you're always going to have some type of electronic sniffer. And then, like you mentioned, you know, usually the last resort is fluorescent leak detection. And it tends to be that way because of the educational side of not understanding the fluid that's being added into the system. So again, the big benefits of fluorescent leak detection is that the fact that it's continuing to work while you're not there. You know, all the other methods are a lot more reactive. So, you know, you're realizing that you're continuing to add refrigerant at the homeowner, and you go and you use your bottle of soap bubbles, you know, around some of the fittings to identify leak site. You know, very, very similar to, you know, your electronic stiffers. However, you know, if you are introducing fluorescent dye into that equipment before there is an issue, those leak sites are already being identified when the contractor arrives at that problem with that equipment. So it's a lot more preventative than just being reactive after there's an issue at Susie Homeowner's house.
Yeah. So you're talking about from a proactive standpoint where the dye is already 100%. Sort of in the system. Okay. All right. Now let me give you, I'm going to go back to another Liebert. Liebert. So evaporator coils in this industry, they leak a lot, right?
And yes, sir.
And it's because they take in air from a home that could have acidic properties, that there could be chemicals in the home, water and dirt and dust and everything is kind of, the water is always pouring. Who knows what kind of reactions are going on, but evaporators leak a lot more than condensers do. And I've noticed this through my career, and I'm going to take you back to another Liebert where it was low on charge, like slightly low, nothing crazy, right? It was still running. It was still cooling, still doing its thing. And I went to leak check it, and my electronic was going off in this one spot. I pulled it back, it would go off again. Pull it back, go off again. But I soaped it, and I couldn't find anything. Couldn't find anything, right? There was no bubbles appearing. And this is a thick evaporator. So it was probably somewhere in the middle of the evaporator. Now, I put dye in it as my next step because I wanted to know exactly where this leak was. I knew my electronic wasn't lying to me because if you put it in that same spot, it would go off. You put it in other spots, it wouldn't. So my electronic was telling the truth, but I didn't know where the leak was, right? Is it repairable? Do we have to replace the evaporator? You know what I mean? Because then a lot of times these thick evaporators, once they start leaking in the middle, you're not repairing it. Because to try to cut open and get to the middle of an evaporator that's already suffered some corrosion, all you're going to do is start creating more damage to it, right? Trying to cut that thing open. So in most cases, once the evaporator starts to leak like that, it's a replacement thing. But anyway, I put some dye in it. I went back. I can't remember how long I left it in there, but I went back with the black light, turned all the lights off in the room and used the black light. And I seen this little, it was so small, this tiny little speck of dye. And I'm like, there it is. So my leak detector told me where it was. There's the dye. I went back at it with soap in the exact same spot. And I couldn't get any bubbles out of it. The leak was so small and it was so buried in the evaporator that I needed the dye to show me exactly where it was, right? Because you could take a leak detector and kind of put it in a general area and it will go off. But if you move it a couple inches to the right or to the left, it's still going to go off. So you're kind of wondering where in that space is the actual leak site, that the leak point. And that's why I've always used an electronic and then soap to try to verify it with bubbles after.
Yep.
Right. So that was another case, another Liebert where the dye sort of worked out for me, and another case where I could show the customer, hey, this is your unit. Here's the leak right here. When this starts to happen on these units, I know from experience, it's just going to be a snowball effect. You're going to have one after the other over the next few years. So we want to be proactive, and probably this Liebert was old too. It was probably 25 years old at least. So we want to be proactive and probably maybe look at switching the machines out, because we could replace the evaporators fine, but you still have old parts and stuff in there, and we could try to build it back up for you, but it might be time to look at a new unit. But anyway, that was another example, right? And so just let me quiet my phone for a minute because it's going off. So where right now, from your perspective, where are techs using dye the most?
If you're looking to fulfill some tools or some parts and you're in the US, check out supplyhouse.com because they got fulfillment centers all over the U.S. ready to fulfill your order so you can grab what you need to continue the work you're doing. Deliver to your house, deliver to the shop, deliver to the job site, you choose.
So the HVAC market heavily focused on the service and, you know, after warranty side in general. You know, the concept of the dye that's being used though in the market tends to be associated with sealants, and that's where the big problem is involved with the you know, the black eye with fluorescent dye currently in the market. You know, if you look at all of the products that are being offered, like I just said, you know, we're the only ones that have a true dye only type of product, which is something that is that we've always focused on as a company. You know, those systems that have issues, it's no different than a run flat, you know, a fix a flat. You know, there's something wrong with that system. You need to fix that type of equipment. So the only really way to see the talk about the dye is how clean the differences in the market are. So obviously in the HVAC market, you know, like I said, it's all on the service side, but there is a big difference on the visibility, the response, the success of the dyes that are available in the market. You know, in all of the other markets that we're involved in the industrial and the automotive, the product is installed on the OEM side. So that preventative maintenance type of product is heavily involved in every other industry across, you know, the type of contractor or service type of network there is besides the HVAC market.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say done at the OEM level, I think we talked about this yesterday. So you guys have a dye capsule. I guess you've partnered with NDL because I've shown this dryer on my social media.
Yes.
We worked with NDL last year for a little bit, just on ball valves and filter dryers and all that kind of stuff. And they've got a dryer that has a dye capsule in it that is your dye.
Yes.
And is this dryer being put in at the OEM level?
So that tracer wafer that you're talking about, that is our automotive OEM type of product.
Okay.
It's something that for years since the late 90s has been installed in AC systems across, you know, multiple brands in the automotive market. It has trickled into refrigeration systems in the HVAC market. However, it's not currently in the residential side of HVAC.
From an OEM
the NDL,
level. From an
yep,
OEM
the
level.
NDL. Okay. Yes, on the OEM. The NDL is a type of new opportunity that is still currently kind of ongoing and a type of focus of us to introduce a revolutionary technology on this fluorescent dye type of technology, you know, leak checking. You know, the newer systems are going to have that A2L type of refrigerant. You know, leak checking is becoming more and more a concern across government agencies. So including a type of leak check in equipment is definitely what's going on in your automotive market. And is something that, you know, us being the manufacturers, we're pretty much on the forefront of all those types of technology. So again, going back to the chemicals, there's just a big difference between what Spectronics Corporation is offering than what you're seeing from obviously multiple brands in the HVAC market, because we're the only ones that actually manufacture fluorescent dye in the HVAC market, but across all industries.
Okay. Now, we do need to, there's probably people listening to this going, I die, you're a hack. And, that's always the case, but
totally.
hopefully the people listening to this are taking in the educational side of this and application where it could benefit you. So that's the next thing we need to talk about, because you guys have approval from Copeland to use, and it's the only dye approved to be used in Copeland compressors. And I've known this for a very long time because I've gone through this with different additives and stuff like that with them, or indirectly with them. So that's kind of like a big one, because Copeland's massive when it comes to the compressor game. And if they say it can work with their compressors, that must carry some weight. So do you want to talk about that
that's
a little
correct.
Bit?
So the biggest way to explain the approval or the type of, you know, the fluorescent dye that Copeland's talking about is our product is oil based. So it doesn't mix with the refrigerants, which kind of leads to the fact that the newer refrigerants don't have any impact on it. It's an oil based product. So our dye is cleaner than the oil that's in your HVAC equipment. You know, your standard, you know, JB Black Gold that you're buying at all your wholesalers is filtered down to around, you know, 10 to 12 microns. All our products across, you know, all industries is filtered down to under 2 microns. So our dye is actually cleaner oil than what you're using in the system. So you could actually procure a, you know, our dye in a larger size and run your equipment as using it as oil, and it is completely compatible. And that is kind of the basics behind the Copeland approval there.
Mm-hmm. Was there any other steps that, like, how does one get approved by a manufacturer like Copeland with an additive product? Like, is this years of testing, multiple steps?
Years.
Like, yeah.
And before I was a part of Spectronix, if anything, this was, I believe when the HVAC market, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that, you know, the technology was started in the automotive market. What really, you know, made us take a jump into the HVAC market was that type of approval. So I don't want to go back into before my time at Spectronix Corporation, but this is a longstanding agreement that goes back to, again, being the founders of this type of technology, where, you know, it's a third generation family owned company that the founder was heavily involved for, you know, quite some time regarding, you know, all the compatibility, all the testing. You know, we have chem labs, on-site testing facilities, you know, everything is done in-house, where we're able to control a lot of the components, where, you know, there's not many small companies like that have the ability to, you know, move this quickly in different industries.
Mm-hmm. So you were mentioning that you've got some at the facility. Mm-hmm. You have some machines that have been running sort of in the background, just
yes,
with the yep, dye in it to do some of your own in-house testing. You want to talk about those machines, yep, what's in them, how long they've been running?
Yeah, you know, across all our type of products that we have, you know, they do, our engineering team does continuous testing, you know, in our labs, you know, even including our sealants. Obviously, that's a completely different topic to discuss in the market.
Yeah, that's another rabbit hole. That's another rabbit hole.
Probably even deeper than the dye conversation get into. But you know, across the, you know, the automotive, with all the different fluids, with your engine oils and your HVAC oils, you know, there is continuous testing for years on just small equipment that is continuously running in the back of our facility. And, you know, that's something that I know that the company has taken pride on for years.
So how long has this equipment been running?
I would say over decades.
Yeah.
On equipment, you know, this is stuff that, you know, a lot of the, being a small family company, there's, I would say more than a handful of employees that have been with Spectronix for over 40 years.
Okay.
So this is a lot of people that are involved, especially on the engineering side and behind the scenes, have been involved and been developing these products since it started.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you're going to know the answer to this question or not, but there seems to be, and if you get online and talk about the frustration about evaporator leaks, do you know if any contractors are putting your dye specifically in new installs to come back
yes,
later and not have a headache of searching, spending a few hours searching and just showing up with a black light and going, oh, there it is, and taking minimal time to do so?
I'm not sure if I'm, I don't want to, you know, give up names on,
no, you don't have to give out names
on the call, but I know for a fact in certain areas that for years, there are some contractors that, you know, with the corrosion issue on the coils, with the changeover from the copper to aluminum on startups, you know, these companies that are doing hundreds and hundreds of installs a year, it's not their install team. So they're able to literally, part of their package when they sell their equipment, they're including a one of our dye capsules or cartridge with that package, and it is being installed immediately. The way to get past your OEM warranty issue there is that these contractors are literally showing the leaking evaporator coils, you know, immediately upon startups. So they're using the visual inspection that we talked about earlier as a way to prove that it's pretty much impossible for that to be done on a, you know, an install team issue.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that they're finding leaks right away on startup?
Yes.
Really?
Which this could be how often,
what percentage of brand new installs are having leaks as far as you know?
I can't confirm to that, but I could say that I know, like, some of these companies that are in some heat areas with hundreds plus trucks are using this across the board and have, you know, inventory. And it's like, again, it's part of a you know, the install package that they're offering to their homeowners. You know, you're able to include this as a preventative maintenance type product where, you know, as we know, separating yourself on the contractor level from your competitors nearby and being able to show a value add to your product, you know, sometimes, you know, one guy in the area might take a leap of faith on that.
Mm-hmm. Now, is reaching out to OEMs with your sort of the NDL dryer with the capsule or what it, the wafer, I think you called it.
Thing for that, Gary, sorry to cut you off, let's not mention NDL on that, because NDL was a customer. We have a customer that makes filter dryers in India currently that is our HVAC partner in the wafer. So they actually supply NDL. So we actually did not have a relationship with NDL. Actually make the wafer itself, and NDL was a customer of our filter dryer supplier for this type product. This is something that we are starting to really focus on as a company, knowing that again across the markets that there's issues on these equipment. We're just starting to get going on this type of technology and seeing how we could really utilize it in the residential, you know, industry here in HVAC.
Yeah. So yeah, my question was really is, are you beating down doors trying to get OEMs to sort of implement products like filter dryers that have these wafers in them? Are you trying to bust down doors and saying that this is what we do, this is how it works, this is the application, this is how it can benefit? And are any of the OEMs starting to get on board, or have you made any progress with this?
So as the rain comes down harder here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave you a link in the show notes so you can go check out what Copeland's doing with variable speed controls and the drive that it comes with now to optimize the performance of the compressor. So check out the link in the show notes.
I could say yes in both aspects there.
Okay.
You know, obviously the approval process on OEMs is no different than getting a company to give you that statement of a stamp of approval. You know, it takes years and years and years. Again, we manufacture the wafer technology. So we don't make filter dryers itself. So finding the best avenue of this type of product, you know, would be the end goal. You know, again, if you're including a filter dryer in your equipment, which we know that's being included across the board, you know, including a leak detection product in there is what is being used across other markets. So yes, that would be a big win for us. And what we see would work in this market. Again, it is included in some of the refrigerators that are there. You know, it's just not into the larger residential type of equipment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what about larger commercial applications? Are we is there any limitation, like large chillers, anything like that?
You just need for the wafer itself, the wafer technology, we just need a carrier. So there has to be something that could hold those wafers in place to let the oil and the, you know, everything circulate through there. So obviously we utilize the filter dryer as the main holder.
Mm-hmm.
If you needed to add more of the wafers in there, you technically could.
Wafers aside, the product itself, the dye itself, a dye capsule or injecting it,
mm-hmm.
is there any limitation there on where we're going to use it?
There's not. You know, across the other markets, you know, we're using, you know, a 500 gallon, reservoir tank in industrial. We have a dye for you.
Okay, cool. So let's move the conversation on to how to properly inject the dye into a system, because obviously there's a certain way to do it, certain method, instructions, how to avoid getting contaminants in the system and all that kind of stuff. So if you could walk us through sort of best practice, how to inject the dye into the system, if you want to use it.
Of course. Yeah. So the big thing about Spectronics is we have two different injection systems. So the method that is used in the market currently, we can call it the direct inject. That was basically you're using the system pressure, high side to low side, some refrigerant, something to propel that product in there. You could call that our glow stick method. So we actually have used that method for years. However, the current offering out there in the market has fittings on the end where we don't give you those fittings on every product. We tend to let you utilize your manifold and your gauges to meter in that product. Again, I'm maybe getting a little selling, but you know, less metal on your product makes it a little bit cheaper. About 10, 15 years ago, we invented our EasyJack method, which actually is a separate tool. So this method, you are actually corkscrewing in a cartridge, which will overcome the system pressure. So that product is rated around 450 PSI. So a contractor technically, without grabbing his manifold or his gauges or anything else that he needs for that equipment, could pretty much take our EasyJack method, go right to the low side and install one of our die capsules without very, you know, ease of overcoming that pressure.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of techs out there that get upset when they hook up to a system and then they see that they've had die get into their gauges or their expensive digital gauges or manifolds or probes or anything like that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I want to have that conversation for a couple of minutes because I myself have experienced die. I'm like, obviously if I'm using my Testo manifold, I can instantly tell if there's die because it's got a little sight glass in there, right? In the bottom of the manifold. So you can, you know, it's kind of glowing. There must be some die in that system. But I personally haven't experienced any sort of issues or anything like that. I don't know what dye was in there because it's hard to tell. But I think the conversation should be going around labeling because I'm because I've used your dye in the past, Spectraline, and I'm pretty sure there's labels inside of it, right?
Yes, so you can sir. We're the only ones that are going to give you that labeling.
So
that
I think correct. That is super important because if someone really despises dye and despises the fact that it's going to get in their gauges and in their hoses, that labeling there will at least give them an indication, hey, there's dye in here. Maybe go get your old clunky set of analogs from the van and use those instead of your expensive digitals that you just bought. So I think that's important to bring up because of the fact that people don't like it. So labeling that system that it's got dye in it, when it was put in, you know what I mean? And just so we're clear across the board, everybody knows what's happening.
Yep. And I agree with that problem, which is going on, I would say, even more than we can imagine, knowing that a lot of the product being used is a sealant with dye. And the problem with the sealant and dye is that if you hook up your manifold, like you just mentioned, and you happen to have, you know, moisture or anything like that in your system, which as we know with the humidity and that being, you know, left in your van overnight, you know, you definitely have some moisture in there. That product does cause some damage. So I know you mentioned that sight glass and that is something that we haven't really been in too much talks internally, but we are aware of this little newer issue that's going on, especially with, as I mentioned, the wide use of a sealant that is being considered a UV product, which is being problematic. Now, the way for us to remove that is to get involved on the OEM side and be the die that's installed on the beginning. And you know, if you're a contractor using a type of equipment that already has preventative maintenance type product in there, you know when you go there and there's a little bit less of refrigerant that you're able to identify leaks by, you know, step 1, 2, and 3. And that is what is being done on, you know, certain refrigerators, as I mentioned, and in the automotive market. Mm-hmm. You know, it's eliminating that guessing game at when you get there, which is what you're doing by putting your manifolds on as a contractor. You know, you're getting to that house, hooking up your manifolds for you to get a quick, you know, snapshot of what's actually going on that equipment. You know, if you're, again, if you're including that preventative maintenance type product on the forefront, you're able to maybe utilize the leak detection spot first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me talk about the actual method of checking for leaks. Now, is there a specific kind of light that we need?
Yes, the lamps have to be a UV type of product. You know, obviously there's a wide range of, I would call them nanometers, or we can call them blue to violet lights that are available. All lights that are in that type of range they will work. Will our lights work better where you might not need the glasses anymore? And we have developed some technology that have, you know, really will enhance the visual inspection of it, of course. But, you know, the strictly you're looking for a type of product that's in a UV range of anywhere from 400 to 500 nanometers is what you're looking for.
All right, perfect. Now, when it comes to leak checking in the daytime or in a bright area, is that's not really going to work, right? We need to do it in the dark.
Well, that goes right back to those lights that I talked about. Okay. You know, if you're using one of our lights, I could guarantee you that the technology has increased enough where, you know, the glasses are given for what you mentioned on a rooftop and, you know, 1 p.m. will they help out? Yes, that is correct. But are they needed all the time anymore if you're using Spectraline lamps? No, they are not. You know, the technology has increased very, very similar to what we talked about on the sniffers. You know, the technology has gotten better and the price has gotten a little bit, you know, more reasonable for the
contractor. So what you're saying is with the right kind of light, you can actually in the light of day, you can check for leaks.
Yes.
With dye. 100%. Really?
100%.
Interesting. Yep. Because I've always gone back. I've always, if I've had to add dye to a system, I'd be like, okay, it's the middle of summer, guys. I'll be back. We're going to have to schedule.
6:37.
I'm going to come back at like 10 p.m. because in the summer, it's not dark till like 10 p.m., yep. right?
So I'll be back at 10 p.m. Our lights are all 400 nanometers now, so they're more in the violet range. If you're using a light that's more on that violet spectrum, you know, you're definitely going to get a better response in the daytime. Our lights, when I first started at Spectronics Corporation, were started around the 500, which would be blue. And they might seem brighter because blue gives you a brighter color, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're making the enhancement of the dye, you know, pop better on that inside the equipment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The new lights are we have a couple different ones we have, you know, that are great for our dye that we offer.
Okay. Now, is it when you put the light on, are you recommending that you get close up to a coil, piping, whatever it may be, and just kind of go along like you would with a leak detector? Or can you move it back and then shine like sort of get a bigger picture? Like which yep. way would you recommend?
The bigger picture is definitely part of the advantages of using fluorescent leak detection. So you're eliminating the need to follow it like a sniffer.
Okay. You know,
we have some lights that are, the range would be anywhere from 4 to 6 feet, which, you know, are very good for, you know, the residential near the equipment. We offer lamps that also will be around anywhere from 20 to 25 feet. So you definitely, if you were doing a commercial opportunity or a commercial application, you know, you're able to pretty much shine that lamp in there and you're going to see a wide, you know, a focus beam on that type of lamp.
Hmm. Now, I think that, I don't know why I just thought of this now. I think that I've got an evaporator leak in my unit at home because last year I remember coming home after a weekend of being away and coming home in the house didn't feel like the way it normally feels, right? When you come in on a hot mm-hmm. summer day and you walk in, you can you can feel yourself drying off. You can feel that cool air. So I had to add some refrigerant last year, and I don't know. I didn't know if it was me, sort of, because I kind of experiment with things on my unit. I'll hook up gauges and stuff, and after so many times of doing that, you're going to lose some refrigerant. I thought it might have been that, but. I'm starting to think that I maybe have a leak in my evaporator. So I'm more than inclined to shove it in my system and just see, just for shits and giggles, see what happens.
Yep. Going to have to get you a sample kit, Gary, for you to do a little test run at the house. And you'll be surprised that you might not have to change that out anytime soon or add any more refrigerant. That's for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, this was a good conversation. I mean, I would love to spread some more education on dye. I mean, it's going to be a lot of negative comments, yes. But the whole goal is to spread information that's educational and where we could actually use it to benefit us. Right. And the fact that it's Copeland approved, which is a big thing. And you did mention how you filter out your dye product, which is an oil-based below the micron level of refrigeration oil. So, I mean, these are all interesting things to me. So I would like to to continue learning more about this. And learning for me comes with hands-on experimental stuff as well. So
perfect. And I appreciate the opportunity and catching on this podcast. I really am looking forward to hearing some of the responses that we'll get. I think people will be surprised that some of the products that have been offered throughout the years might have caused some black eyes that, you know, education is the only way for really change that mindset on fluorescent dyes.
Sweet. Cool. Well, I appreciate your time today, Matt, for sure.
Thanks, Gary.
Hope you enjoyed the show. Follow HVAC Know-It-All on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn, and anywhere else Gary feels like popping up. This has been a Two Smokes and a Coffee production.